Okay, so we're on Yud Aleph Amud Beis, and we are about 11 lines up from the bottom where it says Mar Ukva in the middle of the line. So if you remember, we were speaking about this concept last time of Tanios Shaus, the idea that you can just have a fast that only lasts for a few hours, but that's really technically officially called a fast. So we were in the middle of that conversation. So Mar Ukva, Ikla le Ginzak, Mar Ukva, he went to this place called Ginzak, Ba'umine, and they asked him a series of questions. Misan in the show? So ain't Misan in the shows. They asked him, do we believe in this idea that you can just fast for a few hours and that's a real fast, or do we not believe in that? That that's not a real concept. Lo have a bide, but he didn't have in his hands, he didn't have an answer to give them. Kankanen shel nachrim asurin omutarn. They also wanted to know, let's say, you know, non-Jews, they have these jugs that they use to store their wine. So if I want to use those jugs to store my wine or whatever, am I allowed to do that? Is that mutter or usser? Is it prohibited or permitted to use those jugs of wine? Lo havi biyade. And again, he didn't have an answer in his hand to the question. Bameh shimish Moshe kol shivas yimei hameluim. And then a third question, the third and final question they asked him, what in the world did Moshe Rabbeinu wear during the 7 days when he was consecrating the Mishkan? What did he wear? So it's a great question when you think about it, if you never thought about it. We know that that Aaron and his sons, all the Kohanim, they have a special big day kahuna, but Moshe Rabbeinu was not a Kohen. However, we know that he was the one doing the services during the 7 days of consecration. So during the shivas yimei hameluim. So what clothes did he wear? It's a little hard to say that he wore his like weekday clothes. He just wore like a polo shirt. That sounds like a little bit odd. So what exactly was he wearing? So again, lo havi biyadei. Again, he did not know the answer to this question. Azal v'shayel b'medrash. He went to the base medrash and he asked them these questions. Amrulei, they said to him, Hilchasa misanin l'shaus mispaldin tfilas tanis. They said, number one, we do hold of a tainis shaus. We do hold that there is such a thing as a fast that lasts only for a few hours. And on that fast, to show that it does have a fast of relevance and importance, we do daven, we do say the anenu prayer, mispaldin tfilas tanis. We daven the anenu prayer, the tainis prayer. V'hilchasa kankanin shal nachrim la'achar shneimasar chodesh mutarin. And we also have the second question that was asked about the jugs of the non-Jews that they use for wine. We are allowed to use those jugs that non-Jews use for wine after 12 months. So in other words, if they haven't been used in 12 months, then they are totally permitted to use. What in the world was Moshe Rabbeinu wearing all the 7 days of the consecration? He wore like a white shirt, like a white frock or something like that. Just imagine just like a long white linen coat kind of a thing. So that's what he wore. Rav Kahana Masne, Rav Kahana taught, Bechalok Lavan She'in Lo Imra. So Rav Kahana says specifically, what kind of a white frock, what kind of a white coat was this? It was a white coat, She'in Lo Imra. It didn't have any hems on it. So what does it mean it didn't have any hems on it? So Rashi explains, we'll just say it outside, that it was made of a single thread. In other words, you can imagine that you look at your shirt right now. So you know, first they make the main part of the shirt, the chest of the shirt, and then they make the sleeves and then separately, and then they sew the sleeves on. Not so when it came to Moshe Rabbeinu's white linen, white outfit that he wore. It was only made of one solid thread. And the reason why that it was made like that was simple because they didn't want anyone to accuse Moshe of saying you stole something. How would they accuse him of saying you stole something? Well, if you would have had separate pieces sewn into it, then there would be like little crevices and little pockets that you could, in theory, hide some money in or something like that. So therefore, they said, let's make him just an entire one piece of a white outfit, and therefore no one would ever accuse him because he would literally have nowhere to hide the money if Chas V'Shalom he did steal. So therefore, they made him this thing to make it without any hems, without any seams at all, to show that for sure he could not have stolen anything. Okay, Amar of Chista, going back to our regular topic though, of Chista says, Had Amras, now we're on the top of Yud Beit Zamar Aleph, Had Amras Mis'anin L'Shaus V'husha Lo Tam Klum Ad Ha'erev. So Rav Chista has a very interesting statement here. It's a little bit hard to fully wrap your head around, even once we'll see that others argue on him. So Rav Chista says that when we say we believe in a tainis shaus, when we say we believe in a fast that's only a few hours long, that which we say that we only fast for a few hours, that we believe that it's important, this means that a person didn't taste anything until the evening. In other words, if you say you're going to fast for a few hours, let's say you're going to fast until midday. So, Rav Chista says that fast only counts it's only a chashivas, a kind of fast, it's only an important, it's only a relevant fast if you don't eat anything after that, nor you don't eat anything before that, then you have to basically not eat anything until the evening. So Amar Le Abaye, Hatanes Mal Yasahi. Abaye says, what are you talking about? That's a real fast. That's not just a Tainus Shavuos. That's not just a fast of a few hours. That's a real fast. So how can you have such an opinion, Rav Chisda? It doesn't make any sense. So now Rav Chisda is going to have to answer the question by, he's going to have to give an explanation. If it's true that Rav Chisda essentially does not hold of a fast of a few hours, then what does he do with the teaching that says we do have a fast of a few hours? So says the Gemara, lo. Sricha de imlach imluche. Rav Chisda needs the teaching that says that we do allow for a fast of a few hours for a person. So let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi explains it better than I could. So if you look, so look at the line of Rashi parallel to this line, and go down about 7-8 lines or so to the Dibur HaMaskil, to the opening Rashi that says lo tsrichna demamlich imluche. So he says, Klomar, lo haya bedato klal lehisanos. This guy woke up one day and he had no intention of fasting whatsoever. Ela ase leitirda. Rather, what, he had a busy morning. He was very busy that day. Velo achal ad chatzi hayom. And he didn't have the opportunity to eat until midday. Vechi mata chatzi yom. Mamlech amar, hoil lehisanisi. Ad chatzi hayom. Asana kol hayom. And once he already realized that he didn't fast for, that he fasted essentially for the first half of the day because he just didn't have an opportunity to sit down and eat, he said, you know what? I'm going to fast for the rest of the day also. So that's the case that we're talking about. A guy that essentially just fasted the first half of the day without even realizing it or meaning to, because he just didn't have a chance to sit down and eat. And now he has the rest of the day to fast. And this guy's going to now fast for the rest of the day. He says, because why not? So again, because I said, lo tzricha de imlich imluche. We need this teaching of saying that we believe in a fast of a few hours for the guy that changes his mind, that for this guy, even though he only decided halfway through the fast that he's going to make it a real fast, this guy too, his fast counts as a fast. What kind of fast? It's a fast of a few hours. That's what it is. V'amar Rav Chisda kol ta-
make him fast.
Sorry?
Why would make somebody decide to fast like that?
I don't know, someone said maybe they want some divine mercy or whatever, so they say, okay, I'm going to fast a little bit. But normally, you know, to fast a whole day, with a whole day ahead of you, that sounds intimidating. But again, it's a winter day, and you already fasted until 1 o'clock, let's say. So you say, 4 more hours, what's the big deal? I might as well do it, and I'll get some, you know, points in heaven also. That's probably what would make the guy fast. Good question. V'amar Rav Chisda kol tainus shelo shika alav chama lav shmei tainus. Rav Chisda has another rule. He says that any fast that the sun did not set upon it, it's not considered a fast. So it seems like over here he's basically saying that any fast that you didn't get to nightfall before the end of the fast, in other words, you broke the fast earlier, something like that, or for whatever reason you didn't fast until that moment of nightfall or that moment of when the sunset, whatever it means over here, so that's not considered a fast. So says the Gemara, is that really true? Meisvei, what do you mean that's not really a fast? We know that the Anshei Mishmar, we know that the Kohanim, something that we've spoken a lot in our 5-minute Mishnayos class, we know that the people, that the Kohanim, were broken up into 24 groups, and one group would get 1 week, and they'd switch off every week, week in and week out. So we see that the Kohanim, who were called the Anshei Mishmar, the men of the guard, the men of the watch, they would fast, and they would only fast a little bit, but they would not complete their fast. These were specific fasts that the Mishnah is talking about in that situation. I think we'll get to these Mishnayos later on, I believe. The point is that these Kohanim would fast, but they would not complete the fast. But the point that the Gemara is trying to make over here is that Rav Chisda said that a person who just fasts and doesn't fast until the sun sets, that this guy is not considered a real Tainus when he fasts. But the Mishnah over here is saying that these Kohanim did fast, but it was not completed. But what the Mishnah says is that they were fasting. He uses the language of fasting. So don't tell me Rav Chisda it's not a fast. The Mishnah says it's a fast. Hasam l'suri nafshei ba'amahi. Who? No, so says the Gemara, how do we answer up Rav Chisda? There, it was never really considered a fast in the first place. It was just the language they used, but really it was not a fast. It was just a way to afflict themselves just a little bit. And since that's all it was, it was never a fast to begin with, and we just used the language of a fast, and that's all. So still, we have the question, we're going to try to bring another proof against Rav Chisda that he's wrong, that you don't have to fast until the sun sets to call it a real fast. What's another proof against him? Tashma, come in here, Damar Rabbi Eliezer, B'Rebbe Sadok. Ani mibnei banav shel sanav ben Binyamin. So he's of this specific group of people of Binyamin. Upam achas chal tishabav lios b'shabbos, and one time, right, this is something that's happened, I think, in the last 3 years already. Tishabav has fallen, not this year, not this coming year. God willing, it won't be a fast this year. But in all, I think the past 3 years or so, or at least 2 years, Tishabav has fallen on Shabbos. So this year, it happens to be that Tishabav fell on Shabbos in this situation. V'dachinuhu la'achar Shabbos v'saninubo. And what did they do? They did what we do. They pushed the fast until after Shabbos, and they fasted on that day. They fasted the time Tisha B'Av on Sunday, like we do, when we have to push it off. And they did not complete the fast. Why? Because it was a personal Yom Tov. What in the world personal Yom Tov do they have in the 10th of Av? So we're not going to do it inside, but Rashi basically explains that there were certain groups of people who would donate wood to the Mizbeach. And this family was one of the families that would donate wood to the Mizbeach. And every single family that donated wood, it was only a few families, they each got a specific day throughout the year that they got to donate wood. This specific family, their day of donating wood was on the 10th of Av. And so this year, since they were fasting on the 10th of Av, and whenever they would donate the wood, they would always have a little party, because it was such an exciting thing, a merit, to be able to give wood to the altar of the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, they would always have a little holiday on that day. But what are they going to do now? Because now Tisha B'Av was pushed off to the 10th. So how do they mesh the fact that they're fasting this day, that it's Tisha B'Av, a nidchet Tisha B'Av, a pushed off Tisha B'Av, but it's also their own personal holiday. So it says the Gemara that they didn't complete the fast because it was just because it was a personal holiday for them. So what do we see over here again? That this teaching calls it that they fasted. And this goes against what Rav Chisda said, because Rav Chisda said that whenever it's only called a fast if you fast the whole day, but here they did not fast the whole day, but still we call it a fast. So again, the Gemara says Hasim Nami Litsuri Nafshei Ba'amahu. There also, it's not really a real fast. We just use that language, but over there also, it was not really a real fast. It was just a way of personally afflicting themselves, which is a big chiddush to say that someone who's fasting on the 10th of Av, it's not really a real fast. It's just a way to afflict yourself. But okay, that's what the Gemara says, and so therefore, since it was never a real fast, so it's okay for them to call it a fast, because that's just how we would understand it. But again, it was never a real fast, and so it's okay that they never finished the fast in general. Okay, Tashma, another proof against Rav Chisda. Da'amar Rabbi Yochanan, aha betanis ad sha'avo levesi. Every time Rabbi Yochanan would go to, or sometimes Rabbi Yochanan would go to his house, and on the way to his house, he would say, I'm going to fast until I get to my house. Hasam, so over here also, Rabbi Yochanan is saying he's basically just fasting for a little bit of time. Who knows how long it took him to get to his house? It couldn't have taken that long, though, and if that's the case, that Rabbi Yochanan is saying he's only fasting for a few hours, and he's calling it a fast. So over here also, you see that the sun does not set, and he's able to, on the fast, and he's still able to call it a fast. So it says the Gemara, no, Hasam l'shmute nafshei mi bein nesia hu david. Over here, Rabbi Yochanan was never taking a fast seriously in the first place. It was all a bit of a hoax. Why was he saying he was fasting? Because he wanted to get out of some, he didn't want to be invited to dinner plans. The nasi was, you know, Rabbi Yochanan, a huge Talmud Chacham, would be a huge honor to have him at your meal. So in the nasi, every now and again, would say, hey, Rabbi Yochanan, do you want to come to my dinner table? And Rabbi Yochanan would say, ah, too bad, I accepted a fast upon myself. And so in other words, it wasn't ever really a real fast, it was just a way to avoid some dinner plans. He didn't want to have to go out to dinner to the Nasi's house. Amar Shmuel Kol Tanis Shelo Kibel Alav Mibeod Yom Lav Shmei Tanis. Another teaching, and this one's from Shmuel. Shmuel says that any fast that a person did not accept during the day of the previous day, it's not called a fast. So in other words, let's say you want to fast on Wednesday, so you have to therefore get up on Tuesday while it's still daytime and accept the fast on yourself, and then you can fast on Wednesday and it will be called a real fast. But if you don't do that, then it's not called a real fast. That's what the Gemara says. V'i Yasiv Mai, says the Gemara, well, let's say someone did that. Let's say a guy wakes up on Wednesday morning and he says, you know, I want to fast today. So what if he did that and he fasts? So does it count? What does it mean? So Amar Rabba Bar Shila. Rabba Bar Shila says, Dami l'mapucha d'malya zika. You know what he's like? He's like a bellows that is filled with air. He's like filled with hot air. And you know, like those things they use to like fume a flame in a fireplace. So he's like that thing that's filled with air. What does that mean? Exactly, it means that he basically, he doesn't have any food in his body, so what is he filled with? He's filled with air. In other words, he didn't get anything out of it. It's very nice that now he's empty, that he only has air in his body, but the fast didn't count for anything. If he didn't accept it the day before, then the fast counts for nothing. Okay, Amos Makbil Lay. So fine, we have to accept the fast the previous day. When do you have to accept the fast on the previous day? Rav Amar B'Mincha. Rav says, at the time of Mincha, which Mincha Ketana. So Rav says that you have to accept the fast from 9.5 hours in the day and on, seemingly before the sun sets. V'shmul amar b'tfilas ha-mincha. Shmuel says, no, you can't just do it exactly at 9.5 hours. That doesn't work. You need to do it whenever you daven Mincha. When you're davening Mincha, that's when you should do it. So you daven Mincha after 9.5 hours into the day, I would assume. So therefore, that's when you put it into your Mincha. You have to put it into your prayer itself. Then that's when you're accepting the fast. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, Kivasi de Shmuel mistabra. I can bring a proof to you to the teaching that Shmuel said. Whatever Shmuel said, this idea that you have to accept the fast during your Mincha prayer, I could bring a proof to that. Dichtiv, that it says in Megillas Tainis, in the Megillas Tainis, we know Megillas Tainis is a writing that basically lists all these holidays that they would not fast on. So in Megillas Tainis it says, Lehen kol inish daise lave mekademes dana, however, any man who upon whom came a fast before this holiday. So over here we're talking about the following situation. The guy, he had all these fasts that he accepted upon himself previously, and Megillas Tainis tells you all the days that you cannot fast on. So let's say there's a contradiction over here. Let's say he had already agreed to fast on this upcoming day, but the Megillah says, what do you know? There's a holiday on this day and you can fast. So says the Mishnah, says this teaching, he can actually fast on that holiday since he had already previously accepted it by Yesar. But the Mishnah, the teaching uses a very vague word. It says, shall prohibit it. So what does it mean, shall prohibit it? My love, Yesar atzmo b'silo? Does it not mean over here that he has to accept upon himself in his prayer that he is prohibiting the fast the next day? In other words, that he's allowed to fast the next day, even though technically he shouldn't have been able to, but since he had already previously accepted it upon himself, he's allowed to still fast, but he has to re-accept it upon himself the day before Bitzilo in his prayer. And therefore, again, this whole thing was brought to show us, like Shmuel, that Shmuel is right, that we do have to accept a fast in our prayer the day beforehand. So says the Gemara, lo, yeaser atzma. What does it mean? Yesar, it means that whether or not he accepted the fast during the tefillah, it's still going to be asur. In other words, he doesn't need to accept it. It was already prohibited beforehand, so therefore he doesn't need to re-accept it during tefillah. So this is not a proof to Shmuel that you have to accept it in your tefillah, in your mincha. Pligi b'ha Rabbi Chiya v'Rabbi Shimon v'Rabbi. There's a machlokas, I think I'm a Ryan, about this idea between Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Shimon Rabbi. So Chad Amar Yesar, Chad Amar Yeaser. One says that it means Yesar, and one says that it means Yeaser. Manda Amar Yesar Kedamrin. The one who says that it's Yesar, well, we already know what that means. That's like we said, that this opinion holds, that this teaching says that a person has to accept the fast on the previous day, that even though the person had already accepted these fasts previously, he is allowed to fast, but he just has to now re-accept the fast because of this holiday that happens to coincide with it. And again, he just has to accept it on the previous day during the Mincha prayer. That's like what we said. But Leman Amar Yeaser Maihi, the one who says that the way to understand it is Yeaser. So what does that mean exactly? So I'll tell you. The Tanya of Megillas Tainus that it taught in the Braisa of Megillas Tainus, Ko Inish Dais say alave mekademes denah yeaser, that any man upon whom came a fast before this holiday, so anyone who had already had a fast accepted on this day before he knew that the holiday was there, or before the holiday, I guess, was ever decreed there, is prohibited, yeaser, is prohibited from eating. So ketzav, so what does this mean exactly? Yeah, what's the case? Yachid shakiba alav sheni v'chamishi shel kol hashana kula. Let's say at the beginning of the year, the guy accepts on himself the fasting of Monday, Thursday, every single week for the entire year, he's going to fast on Monday and Thursday. And then what happened? And it happens to be that one of these Mondays or Thursdays coincides with the Yom Tov that's written, with the holiday that's written in Megillas Tainus. So what does he do? Does he fast or does he not fast? If he vowed to keep this fast before the decree of the actual fast ever came along. If he vowed to take this fast before the decree of the holiday ever came along, Yavtil Nidro es Gzirasenu, his fast nullifies the holiday, nullifies the decree, and therefore he's allowed to fast on that day. Then Gzirasenu Kodemes Lenidro, but if the decree for the holiday came before he vowed for this fast, before he vowed to take this fast, Tevatel Gzeraseno es Nidro, the decree for the holiday nullifies his vow to take this fast. But anyways, what you see from over here is that what does Yeaser mean? What does it mean that it's prohibited for him to, it's prohibited, that he has to, what does it mean that he's prohibited from eating? It means that he doesn't have to do anything to re-accept the fast upon himself. It's already accepted upon himself to begin with. And anyways, all this is showing us basically that there's a machlokas amorayim. There's an argument between two amorayim about whether or not we follow Shmuel. One opinion seems to say we do follow Shmuel, and the other opinion seems to say we don't follow Shmuel. One opinion seems to say that we do have to accept it on Mincha on the previous day in the prayer, in the prayer of Mincha. One opinion says no, that it's automatically prohibited, so there's no proof to Shmuel from this whole thing. Okay. Tana Rabban, the Rabbi Sonar Baisa. On Masai, right, everyone with me, we're six lines up from the bottom. Tana Rabban. On Masai, Ochel Vishosa Ashela Amora Shachar, Divrei Rabbi. There is a Baisa that teaches that until when does a person who's fasting have the opportunity to keep eating and drinking? Well, the person could eat and drink until Amud HaShachar, until the dawn. That's when a person's allowed to keep eating until, and that's what Rebbe says. So in other words, you fast the whole day, but the whole night, until Amud HaShachar, you're allowed to eat. Rebbe Eliezer Bar Shimon Omer Akrus HaGever. When can you eat until? Rebbe Eliezer Bar Shimon says, you can eat until the calling of the rooster, right? The bracha we make in the morning for God bringing the rooster to crow. So whenever the rooster crows, that's when I can no longer eat. But before the rooster crows, I can eat. Amar Abaye lo shano ela shelo gamar sudaso. About gamar sudaso ino ochel. So now we're going to try to understand: is this an across the board? And so in other words, when we say we can eat that entire night before the fast, am I allowed to entirely eat? And before we go into the conversation, let's just say an important halacha, a halacha lemaisa thing that people should be aware of: that whenever we have a fast that starts in the morning and any regular fast that we have, if a person goes to sleep that night and he has no intention of waking up in the middle of the night, so in theory one is obligated to keep that fast even if it's like 2 in the morning. So let's say the fast starts at 6 a.m. Person goes to sleep at 10:30 p.m. and he had no intention of waking up before the fast started. If he wakes up, he wakes up at 3 in the morning, he is not allowed to eat then, because we assume that the fast has already started for him, unless he specifically made the declaration beforehand to say that I'm not going to start the fast until the actual start time. Then he would not have to keep it, but otherwise he would have to keep it. So that's what the Gemara is going to talk about right now. So again, we said that there's two different opinions. One says you could eat until Amud HaShachar, and one says you can eat until the rooster crows. So Amar Abaye lo shano ela shelo gamar sudaso. Well, gamar sudaso ino ochel. This teaching that we said that he can eat until Amud HaShachar, it only applies if he had not finished his meal. So in other words, if he was eating until Amud HaShachar, then he can eat up until Amud HaShachar. But if he already finished his meal, he can't eat anymore. So if he finishes his meal at 11 o'clock at night, no can do. He cannot eat anything else after he finishes that meal, even though technically we said Amud HaShachar, no, he has to stop eating after that meal ends, even if it's in the middle of the night. Before Amud HaShachar. Isay Rava challenges this. Gamar v'Amad. We have another teaching that says, no, he finished his meal, he stood up from his meal. Hariza Ochel, this guy still is allowed to eat seemingly until Amud HaShachar. So what do you mean you can't eat after you finish the meal? So says the Gemara, Hasam Kishalo Silik. No, over there when we said he can still keep eating is when the table was not removed. Back in the days of the Gemara, the way they used to eat was not the way we eat nowadays, where we have a nice table and we always go to the table to eat. They used to bring the table to them. So over there, the case that the guy was still allowed to keep eating and was because the table, even though he finished the meal, even though he stood up, the table was still there. And that's why he was allowed to keep eating, because there was a recognition that he was still enjoying the meal. But once that table is removed, even according to this teaching, everyone would seemingly agree that he has to no longer eat, even if it's before Amud HaShachar. Okay, Igad Amri, another way that this teaching was taught. Amar Rava lo shano ela kishalo yashan, aval yashan ino ochel. So now it's a little bit switched. So Rava says that this teaching that says that you have you can eat up until Amud HaShachar is only taught when the guy was not sleeping. But if he fell asleep, this is seemingly what we do. If he fell asleep, then once he's sleeping, he cannot eat anymore. What do you mean he can't eat anymore? He's sleeping. No, once he sleeps and he wakes up in the middle of the night, then no longer can he eat anymore, even if it's before Amud HaShachar. Eisvei Abaye challenges this. Yashan vi Amud Hareza Ochel. There's another teaching that says that if a person's sleeping and he stands up, he is allowed to keep eating. So how do you deal with that? So no, Hasam Bemis Namnim. There, the teaching was specifically with someone not who is sleeping, actually, because that would be a contradiction to what Rava taught. It's not sleeping. Rather, it's just someone who was dozing off. Misnamnim means he was like drowsy. He was dozing off, and that's what we're talking about. So the guy was dozing off, and this guy, if he dozes off a little bit, bobbing his head like one of those guys, then that is okay for him to, if he dozes off a little bit, he can still keep eating if it's still before Amud HaShachar. I just want to say, so same thing, we still have not upgraded our account, so I see we have 10 minutes left. We'll actually probably finish this before the time is up, but if not...
By the way, if we get cut off, you just click back into the link.
Yeah, exactly. Just click the link again, but hopefully I think we're actually going to finish before the time is up, but let's see. Okay, so again, so this guy over here talking about is someone who is drowsy. That's the guy who's allowed to keep eating. Even if he got drowsy, he's allowed to keep eating before Amud HaShachar. What in the world does it mean to be drowsy? So how do you define that? Someone's sleeping? I know. Someone is awake? I know. What do you mean, drowsy? Amar Rav Ashi, turn the page on the top of Yud Beis Amud Beis. Niim velo niim, tier velo tier. So what do you mean drowsy? Well, he's sleepy, or he's sleeping, but he's not completely asleep. He's awake, but he's not completely awake. Dekaru leva ani. And what's happening? That if I call to this guy, he'll actually answer me. We know those guys. It's like half asleep. The guy who like at a Shabbos meal fell asleep on the couch, but he's like half awake. You know, you say, hey, Joe, how you doing? And the guy says, I'm here asleep. You know, so that guy, you call to him and he answers. So that guy. It's considered drowsy. Velo yada aduri safra, and a little further definition, that he doesn't know how to respond to you in a way that like requires like original thought. So if you say, "Hey Joe, what day is it?" So okay, you could say Shabbos or whatever. But you ask him like, "What's the square root of 144?" That probably is a little hard for him to do. V'chi mitkarile, but when you remind him, of something, mitkar, he remembers. He's able to have some semblance of a conversation with you. Amar Rav Kahana. Okay, fine. So that's that. Amar Rav Kahana. Amar Rav, a new teaching. So Rav Kahana said in the name of Rav. Yachid, Shekiba Alav, Tainis Asr Benilas Asandal. If you have an individual who accepts upon themselves a fast, just an individual fast, it's prohibited for them to wear shoes, right? This idea that a person does not wear shoes, you can't wear leather shoes, that's how we understand it nowadays. That would apply over here, according to the Gemara, to even some guy who wakes up and says, "I want to fast." Well, it even applies to that guy. We only have this nowadays on Yom Kippur and Tishba, and we'll see why in a second. But according to this basic teaching, a person who accepts upon himself a personal fast, he cannot wear shoes. Chayshinan Shema Tainis Sibor Kibalav. Why can he not wear shoes? Well, we have to be suspect that he accidentally accepted upon himself a public fast, not a private fast, but that he accepted upon himself a public fast. So Hechi Le'av. The Gemara says that's ridiculous. What can this guy do to make sure that this does not happen? Therefore, he would not have to do this. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is that a personal fast does not require not wearing shoes. A public fast requires not wearing shoes. So if this guy accepts upon himself a personal fast, the only reason why he doesn't have to wear shoes, the reason why he cannot wear shoes is because we're afraid that it'll look too much. We're afraid that he might have accidentally accepted himself a public fast. But for sure, if it was a private fast, he would not need to wear shoes. He would not need to not wear shoes. He would be able to wear shoes. So what does he do to prevent this from happening? Amar Rabba Bar Rav Shila. Rabba Bar Rav Shila said, Lema Hachi, let him say the following. Lemachar aha lefanecha betainas yachid. Tomorrow I, before you, will fast an individual fast. If the guy just says those simple words, then bada bing, bada boom. Everyone knows it's a private fast, and therefore he would not have to not wear shoes. Okay, Amar Le Rabbanan the Rav Sheshes. So the rabbis said to Rav Sheshes, Haka chazinan Rabbanan de Masaime Misanayu. Vasu lebe tanisa. They say, Rav Sheshes, we have some bad news for you. We saw some rabbis who were wearing their shoes and they were going into like this like prayer house where they were they were going into like services for the fast day. In other words, they were going into the house of worship where they're all fasting. That's where they were all going into. What's the problem over here? So it was seemingly a public fast, and they were wearing shoes. What happens? Ikpad. Rav Sheshes became like very angry. The Amar Lehu Dilma Mechal Namiachu says to them, you know, why don't these rabbis let them just also eat some food also? They're during a public fast day. They're wearing shoes. They might as well just eat some food also to show how much they're separating themselves from the congregation. What he's saying is basically a public fast requires that you don't eat food and also that you don't wear shoes. Okay. Abaye and Rava, they would enter a house of prayer on a public fast day. Kimisaime apanta. And what would they do? They were wearing like the upper leather part of a shoe. So they were wearing shoes or part of a shoe, whatever it was. Mareimar, Marzutra, Mechalfi d'yamina l'smola, v'd'smola l'yamina. Mareimar and Marzutra, they would switch their shoes. So whenever it was seemingly a public fast day, they would switch their right shoe to their left foot and their left shoe to their right foot. And Rabbanan Devei Rav Ashi Nafkei Kior Chayu, and these rabbis from the yeshiva of Rav Ashi, they would go out as usual. They would be just wearing their shoes like it was a regular day. And again, they just would not be eating because it was a public fast day. And how do all these people get away with this? Even the people who were just switching their shoes, so seemingly, you know, they were having some kind of a change, but they weren't not wearing their shoes. So how do all these people get away with this? Savri kihad amar Shmuel, they hold like Shmuel, that ain't time is sibur bevavel ela tishba bilvad, that Shmuel had this famous teaching that there's no public fast day in Bavel other than Tishba. What does it mean there's no public fast day? How could that be? So it seems like, no, that there are public fast days, but there's no public fast day that requires the same level of subjugation as Tishba in Bavel. Only on Tishba can you not wear your shoes. Do you not wear shoes? But every other day, every other public fast day, you can wear your shoes. And that's who they followed. Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, Rav Yehuda is the name of Rav, Lova Adam Taniso, that a person can borrow their fast, Uparea, and then they can pay it back later. So in other words, let's say a guy says that I'm going to fast on Wednesday. And what do you know, on Wednesday, he gets a great steak dinner coming to him. He says, oh, shoot, I wish I did not accept the fast upon myself. So the guy can say, I'm going to borrow from this fast. I'm not going to fast right now, even though I accepted upon myself that I would. I'm going to eat this steak, and then 2 days from now, that's when I'll fast. I'm going to pay it back later. Ki amrisa kamei de Shmuel. When they said this before Shmuel, Amar li v'chi neder kibel aleha. He said, so Shmuel says, I don't understand. Was it a vow that he accepted upon himself when he said not to fast? Delo sagi, delo mashlam, that he really needs to complete it because it's like a neder? Let's say, nashi kabel aleha. He accepted, when a person accepted upon himself to fast, they accepted it to afflict themselves, which means imatzi mitzar nafshe. If he's able to, then he should afflict himself. Ilomatzi lomatzar nafshe. If he's not able to, then he should not afflict himself. That he does not need to afflict himself. In other words, if for whatever reason he can't do it, so he doesn't have to do it. But it's not a vow, so of course this is what the halach is, that you don't have to fast today. But seemingly, even if you didn't fast that day, according to Shmuel, you would not have to pay it back later. Ikeda amrei. Another way that this is taught, Amar of Yehuda. Amar Ikad Amri, Amar of Yehuda, Amar Rav, Lova Adam Taniso Porea, the same teaching that a person can borrow from their fast and then pay it back later. Ki Amri Sakame de Shmuel, and they said this before, Shmuel Amar Li, he said to me, Pshita Lohi Ela Neder, it's only a vow. So it's a little bit different now. Now he is saying it is a vow, but that's okay, because Neder, Mi Lo Matzi Bai Lishlumi Umezel, we have an idea that a person can not break their vow, but they can they can pay their vow back later. They don't have to do it right now. Lamachar Lioma Acharina, they can pay back the vow to, they could do the fast tomorrow if they don't want to do it today, or they could do it another day. And that doesn't have to be today. Rabbi Yeshua Bray Rav Idi Ikla Lebei Rav Asi. Rabbi Yeshua, the son of Rav Idi, went to the house of Rav Asi. Ivdule Igla Tilsa. They made him a third grown calf. It was delicious, something like veal or something like that. Amrele Litom Marmide. They said, no, eat some of this. Amrele Betanisa Yasivni. He says, I can't eat of it because I'm fasting. Amrele Ulozif Mar Ulif. The Freya, right? Can you just borrow on this fast and not keep the fast now? Enjoy your delicious veal, and then you'll keep the fast in tomorrow or something like that. Los of Armala, Los. Oh, sorry. Yeah, lo savar marla had amar Rav Yehuda amar Rav lova adam taniso buparei. Don't you hold to this idea that you can borrow from the fast and then pay it back later? Amar lehu, he said to them, tanis chalonhu. He says, no, I generally do follow this opinion, but this is a fast that I'm using to because I had a bad dream, so I'm fasting to get rid of that decree. So amar Rav bar mechasya amar Rav Chama. Amar Rav Chama Bar Gorya, Amar Rav Yafa Tanis L'Chalom. A fast is good for a dream, like a wipes out a bad decree in a dream. Keish L'Neuras, like fire, like consumes, burns up leavings of flax. So in other words, if you have a bad dream, all you got to do is just fast, and then all will be good. And then the Gemara says, V'Amar Rav Chista Ubo Bayom. Rav Chista specifically says that the fast really works best, or it only really works if you fast specifically on that day. So you dream last night, you had a bad dream, so now today you have to fast. So that's why he couldn't make up the fast. But Amar Rav Yosef Afilu B'Shabbos. Rav Yosef says you could even fast the Tainus Chalom on Shabbos. Ma'i Takante, what does the guy do? How does he make up for the fact that he's now fasting on Shabbos? Leisev Tanisa L'Tanisa. He has to now fast another day because he fasted on Shabbos, to atone for fasting on Shabbos, because he couldn't, for his Tainus Chalom, for his dream fast, he can fast on Shabbos, but still it's a mistake. You should not be fasting on Shabbos, so he fasts on Shabbos for the dream, and then he has to fast another day during the week to make up for the fact that he did fast on Shabbos. Okay, we'll stop right there. God willing, next time we'll pick up from here and do the whole do Yud Gimel. But for now, everyone, have a great night. Okay.